ears are not deceiving you, that's the sound of Bathrobes Piers Broadsides, Civil Rights for the Poor, your 11 a.m. Sunday show today on April 9th, 2000, coming at you with 40 microwatts of power, or is it mini microwatts? I've never been too good at electronics. This is Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. I'm your host, Bathrobes Piers Robert Norse. Today we have a special guest from UCSC who has done some work on the sleeping band. She's going to be talking about it. Plus, we're going to have many, many interviews from the streets, and we're going to be doing some on-air prep for the upcoming April 11th PIE presentation to the City Council and Sleep-In to help them, should we say, address the issue that they seem to have so much difficulty addressing, namely restoring the basic civil right to sleep to homeless people. Stay tuned. If you're confused, have no fear. I, too, am confused. We're going to begin with some good street interviews, many of them recorded at the Sleeping Band Repeal table in front of the Del Mar Theater on Pacific Avenue, where, for the indefinite future, apparently the sleeping table is parked during the day, and who knows, maybe we'll extend it and expand it to a nighttime location and time period as well. Depends on how enthusiastic your response is out there, listeners. But here, let's get some these interviews that you've been so good as to give us. And you can, of course, call in during the show at any time. 427-3772 is our call-in number. I'm your host, Bathrobes Piers Robert Norse.
It's April 5th, 2000. We're talking to
the Happy Camper.
And Mr. Camper, it's, well, 15 to 7 or thereabouts in front of the Del Mar Theater, and you're a man who has a report on the planned police recreational activities in Felton.
Well, ordinarily this time of the year and stuff like that, they go through the parks, you know, like pretty full scale, including in the Felton area and stuff like that, and probably within the next couple of weeks they'll be doing that. Presently I'm living on private property, luckily, but I just saw the surveyors out there today, so undoubtedly they're going to be building. So I'm going back into the state park.
Now, how long have you been a resident of this area?
I've been a resident of, actually in the Felton State, you know, Henry Call area and stuff, for about 2 years now.
Okay, and you've been pretty much, as they would say, houseless?
Yes, I'm definitely houseless. For a while I stayed at River Street Shelter, and found that quite a joke, so I left there.
Now, why was it that funny?
To be honest with you, they were supposed to be giving people that were staying there counseling, and everybody had that was working there had everything to do but counsel.
I see.
It was pretty much as far as I was concerned, a wasted wasted living experience, and it was a lot nicer to live in the woods and be able to get up and go to sleep when I wanted to, not having to be told what to do.
Did they make you set the table when you were at the River Street Shelter?
Yes. You had a daily chore, and if you did not perform that chore righteously, you were penalized by having to do that chore for an entire 5 days.
Were you ever evicted for not doing the chore?
Myself personally, no, but I know many people and stuff like that that had prior engagements that were forced to leave the shelter because they did not perform their chore 2 days in a row.
Well, you've been doing some camping on the sidewalk in the sense that you've been there during the day with a sign announcing the Happy Camper has returned to Pacific Avenue. How are tricks, or should I say, how's the spare changing going?
Actually, right now it's getting a little bit slow, but I think that's pretty much because of tax time, And then there's also the fact that about everybody that we just see walking up and down the street, you know, like, does not have cash or change in their pocket. They, you know, like, live on plastic.
So, how much did you make today?
$5.
How many hours
about,
were you over?
I'd say in about 4 hours.
Not the highest rate of return.
Well, considering if I wasn't all dinged up right now, I would rather be working, but...
What kind of work would you normally be doing?
Well, I used to be a professional asphalt paver. I have a lot of experience with general engineering work, and ordinarily when I do work, I make pretty good money.
Take it. Any other comments for Free Radio Santa Cruz?
For Free Radio Santa Cruz? Hey, support the sleeping band. Is because
wait, support the sleeping band or support ending the sleeping band?
Support ending the sleeping band, yeah. You know, yeah, they've got to find a place for people to be. You know, I mean, like, it's not going to be very pleasant for a lot of people because they'll probably have to have security on site and things like that, but, you know, like, it's got to be done. You know, because there are a lot of people that, you know, like, are getting beaten up, ripped off. You know, like, not that I've actually seen myself and I haven't experienced it, but I've known way too many people. I know a lot of people that have died out in the woods of hypothermia and, you know, like, other diseases because they had no access.
In the last year, or?
Oh, yes, yes.
Give me a name, one name for me.
Well, let's see, there was some Ray.
Ray Stitt?
Yeah. Little short Ray.
I thought that Ray died because he was had an alcohol problem and fell down, face down into 3 feet of water in the San Lorenzo River.
Oh, yes, he did. But if he had been at a regular campsite and stuff like that, that probably wouldn't have existed.
Oh, you dreamer, you. Now, actually, I tend to agree with you, although I would say that probably Cynthia Matthews would not.
Well, many people don't realize, you know, like probably three-quarters of the homeless people out here on the streets or substance abuser or alcoholics, you know, like, and one of the reasons why they are is because they're homeless and they've got to be sitting out there on the street, you know, like trying to stay alive, and they get depressed, and
well,
that leads to substance abuse.
I notice a certain smell of alcohol about someone nearby.
Well, it could be very possible.
Well,
Don't quote me.
Certainly not. Well, you seem quite coherent, articulate, and non-abusive, regardless of whatever your breath may smell like. So I want to commend you on maintaining a cool head.
Well, see, one of the things about it and stuff like that, if you want to go out and play and stuff like that, you've got to keep it to a certain limit or you will get in trouble.
Indeed. Are you an alcoholic?
Yeah. Actually, the only reason why I'm, you know, like... having a problem with it right now is because I just had a really fun trip to Emmeline Street today. I fell down and either I messed up my leg really bad and there was no way I could get treatment.
And tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, they said, well, we can't take any more critical care people right now, but you're not serious enough to go to Dominican because if you do go to Dominican, Medicruz will not pay for that. So I have to wait till tomorrow and show up at 8 o'clock and be first in line, or I won't be seen.
And so, and you yourself do sleep out.
Yes.
You're not using the fine armory facilities this evening?
The armory facilities right now are closed.
I think they are open until the 15th.
The 15th? Yeah. No, I don't. I don't go to the armory.
Yeah.
Hmm.
You don't go to the armory?
No. 2 weeks. No, with I stopped going to the armory this year. Last year I stayed. This year, there was just too much, drug abuse, and some of the people that are running the place, I don't get along with.
Well, thank you, Camper. Any final comments before we move down the mall?
Peace, bro.
Hey, man. Same to you. I see on the sidewalk. There again, the criminal chalkers have been at work. Safe sleep zones now. How can we sleep at night knowing homeless people can't? Well, it's a novel question. We have a homeless tabler, or I should say
tonight.
Sleeping band tabler, James Ney. James, what's been happening downtown around your and the sleeping band table?
Not a lot. Getting a lot of interest by the middle class, which is a nice thing, you know. Fair amount of interest, it appears, from the college students for our protest. Although I had disquieting news again today from one of our campers out there in a vehicularly house, and that they just a couple of days ago went up and down Delaware and put up them 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. no parking signs.
Interestingly enough, because we know that in the Almar Avenue controversy that happened three months ago or so, where they tried to do the same thing at Almar Avenue, the city council actually stopped that from happening and refused to accept that and indicated that putting up signs would tend to be a violation of their master plan, so, or something about the traffic plan. Until they changed the traffic plan, they weren't to be putting up more such signs, and I guess Harvey West retreated on that proposal. But now you tell me that the Delaware Avenue folks have, some of them have put up some signs. Who's done this, anyway?
Well, I guess it has to be the cities, because there's no residences over there. You know, except at the very end, the trailer park, you know, Marine Long Institute, that's the end. But, I mean, it sounds ridiculous because this has to have been done by the city. There's nobody else to do it.
Sounds like it's time for a call from the lone telephoner. Anyway, thank you, James. Anything else? Any other exciting adventures? I understand that the sellout camping band Schmoozerama show coming up on Voices from the Village tomorrow evening, which features no advocates from the homeless, but only social service providers, city council members, and other poverty pimps, dare I say so. Then a camera crew from this group of ne'er-do-wells stopped by your table and took a three-minute clip, so they're going to give you, everybody else, 57 minutes and you 3 minutes on the show?
Yeah, I guess. The gentleman came by and did mention that he managed to, although he said it was up against stiff opposition, that I guess the producer, Charlie, really did not want it in.
You're talking about Charlie, Phillips? Is that the one you're talking
about? Yes, I am. I guess he the photographer put it in there anyway. So he came by today to tell me to watch at 7:30 and that my short clip would be in there. And he said, better than that, he says, it's a live call-in show to tell as many activists to get on, be there at 7:30 watching and call in.
You'll be doing that tomorrow.
I don't have any way to call him. I'm in Ben Lomond. I don't even get 71. I live in my motorhome.
Hey, man. Buy a TV. Do something useful with your life.
And then get cable, too. Huh?
There you go. Yeah. Any comments?
It sucks.
The sleeping ban?
The sleeping ban sucks. And I think that it should all be reversed. I think people should be allowed. I think it's ridiculous that people can't sleep in their cars. Where else are they going to sleep? It's their house. They're not, you know, houseless. They may be homeless, but they're not houseless.
Your name?
Aaliyah.
Thank you, Aaliyah.
You're a writer?
I'm a activist trying to end the sleeping ban and also do a radio show tomorrow.
Is that going to be flooded or something?
Tomorrow it'll be on the radio.
What are you doing on the radio?
Yeah,
okay.
6 to 8. So tune in 96.3 FM and call in at 427-3772.
All right.
Thanks.
Cool. Yep.
And, of course, sometimes we delay these interviews, sometimes for weeks, due to strategic planning and also losing our tapes and sometimes just not having enough time. A lot of these interviews were from the last week, however, and we're going to be playing you earlier interviews, too, because we have a whole backload of interviews from the street, which I think are very informative. Not only are they proof that a lot of folks out there, ordinary individuals, hear about the sleeping ban and they just shake their heads and they just can't believe it, but there are individuals with lots of stories out there who are not your stereotypic poor person in some sort of perennial state of need. They're individuals who are losing their homes because of high rents, because of sudden movements like the Cypress Point housing activity that was reversed, but for a while there had hundreds of tenants angrily scrambling to actually do something once in Santa Cruz. But of course, when the management backed off, the city council also went into hibernation and talked about their usual task forces instead of actually ordinances, which might deal with speculation, rent control. I mean, we need to examine all these things, and we need to take some action on it. Specifically, for example, let's look at the Canfield Corporation and its the way it's been dealing with low-income property in the Beach Flats. How much property have they destroyed? How much, I should say, housing have they destroyed in the last 20 years? Well, it's time for the city council to do a little investigating on that, and then you know, take some action to make sure that that process ends and that we actually start having real affordable housing in that area. And of course, you've heard me talk a lot about it on the beach, on the beach flats, on the issue of the Dolphin Lee. We have an incoming call, and we're going to put you on. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Yes, sir, from Sacramento Homeless Organizing Committee. Shock.
Ah, Shock, the Sacramento Housing Homeless Organizing
Committee. Yes, sir. We're waiting for an interview.
Wow, good. You're actually calling us long distance.
We love you.
Hey, what's your name?
James Snow, Reverend James Snow from May.
Hey, Reverend Snow. So you I understand yesterday you guys were having a kind of a combination cleanup and demonstration out there in Sacramento.
And we had a little fraction, too.
A little what?
A fraction from the police department.
Oh, you had some special training activity with the police department?
Oh, they come out and told us they're going to take us to jail if we can get out.
They were testing their intimidation powers on you?
Yeah, excellent. Yeah, good recommendation.
You sound
That's
like
what they were doing to us.
Are you a homeless person yourself?
Yes, ma'am.
And
yes, sir.
In fact, most of the people on the Sacramento Homelessness Organizing Committee, unlike, for example, HUF, the group I belong to in here in Santa Cruz, are actually homeless, right?
Yes, sir.
How many?
We are homeless intentionally. We can have homeless if we want them, but we don't want them.
And why don't you want them?
Because we like living out here among the street people and trying to get them organized together and working together and kind of putting this judgment that we're unworthy people to shame.
I see. So the city's been trying to buy you off with a little subsidized housing?
No, they've been sticking the cops on us and trying to...
So giving you a little jail subsidized housing.
Yes, sir. They've been doing that.
So you...
I'll give you some names if you need, but not necessary.
Why don't you give us an update on... How long have you been with Shock?
About 4 years.
And tell us how police in Sacramento have been treating... First of all, tell us, how many homeless people do you estimate you have in Sacramento?
About 15,000.
How big is Sacramento?
About a million people.
And what do these 15,000 people do? Do they hide in dumpsters? Where do they go to sleep at night?
The only thing that the homeless people do is try to avoid being harassed by the police department.
Uh-huh.
That's the only thing they avoid. And the police department has hired what is called SHA.
Which is?
It's security guards.
Uh-huh.
Come out and harass us.
Well, now, where do homeless people go at night to lay down their weary heads?
Everywhere. We have the American River, we have bridges, we have empty lots and everything.
Uh-huh.
And when we're in places that have been sealed off, we can crawl over fences. Here they come. Security cops are coming to harass us first.
Mm-hmm.
And they call the police department.
I see.
The police department has hired the security department to come and harass us.
And is this a new development? I mean, are these security guards kind of something that wasn't in the cards, let's say, last year?
No, sir. No, they're hired by the police department to come out and harass the homeless people.
Right. And is that a regular?
And I'll state that emphatically. Yes,
sure.
Sir.
And is this a regular kind of deal with the police?
Every morning, yes, sir. All day long.
Right. And for the last 4 years as well, or just a recent?
About 4 years. Yeah.
So what I understand, and as I understand it, I was in Sacramento, actually, I marched to the American River, I guess it was in 90, I think we did it in 93, and then we did it again.
Yeah, that was a little before this started, happened about 95, 96.
Well, they were harassing homeless people then.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, it's an ongoing thing.
They treat us horribly, yeah.
But I know that you guys have been fighting back with attorneys trying to challenge...
Only one
attorney.
His name is Tommy.
Mm-hmm.
Are you writing this?
No, but you're speaking aloud, and we are recording it. Go ahead.
Tommy Clickenbeard is his name.
And
he has stated himself as representing us,
mm-hmm.
but we're still getting harassed.
Well,
so question there.
So is this have you guys been like going to court and to trial and on charges?
Oh, yes, sir.
What do they charge you with?
Illegal camping, trespassing, stuff like that.
And do you get jury trials, or do you have to get a trial?
I got one ticket on myself right now that I got the first time in 30 years. I've been in this town for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
I went on the streets about 8 years ago. I just got the first ticket about two days ago.
Uh-huh. What was the ticket for?
Illegal camping.
And is that a misdemeanor or an infraction, do you know?
It's a misdemeanor. It's a misdemeanor. And let me give you the officer's number, please.
Sure.
Let me pull my ticket out. Get in contact with him.
Right. Well, I doubt he'll give me a call back here in Santa Cruz.
He will. Yes, sir.
Do you think
so?
Yeah,
his cop will. Oh, yeah.
Really? What's his name? Do you know?
No, sir. I'll give you his badge number. That's
okay.
All you need. 373.
Okay, well, this is an open call to Badge 373 to give us a call here.
He told me it's a freebie for me.
Of course, I doubt that he has any of his Confederates listening here into our little station in Santa Cruz, but if he does, hey, 373, you're welcome to call in and give your side of the story. So you got a lot of folks, and I know that you sent us a flyer that you were going to be doing a protest yesterday. Can you tell us about that protest?
I did not go into the protest part of it.
Okay.
We just went out there. We set ourselves up as the American River Cleanup Crew.
Where did you go out to?
Let me explain this, please.
Sure.
Before I go into it.
Sorry.
7 years ago or 6 years ago, it came in the newspaper that the reason that the police department was harassing the homeless people was because they could not clean up after themselves. So we came in with a proposition with the Rangers in Sacramento, and they provided all the blank orange bags and all this for us to clean up after ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so we started setting up bags out here, hundreds of them on the road, cleaning up the whole river.
Mm-hmm.
And pissed everybody off, pardon me, my language, but just made cops and everybody mad because they did not think that homeless people could do this.
Mm-hmm. Or perhaps they didn't want homeless people to be seen as
doing
it.
Amen. God mm-hmm. bless you. They didn't want to see us as worthy people.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they're still, to this day, this morning they went over, these bags all over this road just picked up, cleaning up this river.
Mm-hmm.
And we're doing it regardless for the cops, and they've already threatened to lock us up if we don't quit.
I mean, now, let me get this straight, Reverend. They want to lock you up if you don't stop cleaning up.
Yeah, they said we're making a mess.
Well, I got a new strategy for you. Make the police pay you to mess up the area.
Yes, sir.
Now,
they
what you
did
do,
one time.
Get some kickbacks so you can start messing up the area, and then you'll get some big money from the police department.
Yes, sir.
Wow. Now, wait now. Now, I was proposing that as a joke. Are you saying that has actually happened?
That's happening.
Well, tell us more about this.
Well, we first set up the first show, and they put us on TV and all this. So they got kind of embarrassed. And so, therefore, they had a couple of stanchions set up to this little road that went back to where we're cleaning up. They took those out, and the police department came in there and picked up all the orange bags. The primary thing was the orange bags, okay?
These are the bags you use to clean up
with. Yeah. And they're only put out by Caltrans or the Forest Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
You can't go buy these bags,
right.
Okay? And the Forest Rangers given to us to clean up this place.
And these
so
bags...
we did it, the cops ran us out. And then the cops went later, after we'd already picked up 200 bags, and picked up all these bags and took them out. And now we're doing it again.
So, in other words, the police were trying to short-circuit your
Amen.
your attempt to be a part of the community and show
yes,
that you
sir.
Are
yes,
worthwhile
yes,
in what you do.
We want to put up campsites for everybody.
Did the police say why they wanted to engage in activity that discredits them as much as they think it discredits you?
The only reason they have not discredited is they run the newspapers off. If the newspaper and everybody and the TV station had been recording us, was they recording this?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that would have been quite a blow to them.
So, in other words, they were successful in discrediting you.
Yeah, they waited till everybody left.
Uh-huh.
UCD, they had people from University of California here with us and churches and all that.
Mm-hmm.
After they left, then they started coming and harassing us. And they waited upon the bridges and waited down under the bridge on the roads and just sat there.
Mm-hmm.
And after they left, then they come and got us. Sergeant,
now, when
you know,
was this, Reverend?
Sir?
When was this?
Yesterday.
Yesterday?
Yes, sir.
So how many of you were out there doing the cleaning?
Quite a few of us. I see about 50 people. We had a couple of churches.
And so the media was out there originally, but then when the media left?
Channel KOVR came.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what channel that is.
Uh-huh.
Channel 40 came.
Sacramento B?
Sacramento B has wrote us up.
Mm-hmm. And then later the police came and did what?
Told us, get gone or go to jail.
So, in other words, you the media left, and you were had you actually set up a campsite in order to sleep that night, or?
No.
No.
We don't have to live there. We just want to clean it up. We're not concerned about staying there.
But you are concerned about having somewhere to stay, right?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. We're going to set up eventually a, what's called a free zone, where the homeless people have a place to sleep without cop harassment.
Well, I understand that a mayoral candidate, what's her name, Padilla?
Julia Padilla.
Julia Padilla has even offered a piece
acres.
Of property for that? Is
yes,
that,
sir.
And you want to tell us a little bit about this plan?
Let this man tell you. His name is Blake Smith.
Yes, sir.
He knows more about it than I do.
Well, listen, is there anything more you want to say about this demonstration that happened yesterday? Anything
no,
we should know?
Whatever you have on tape, just work it and talk to Blake, and he'll take it from here.
Sounds good.
Right on.
Thank you very much.
Hi. Hello. This is kind of unexpected.
No problem. Now, we're talking to...
My name is Blake.
And your last name?
Smith.
And Blake, how long have you been with the Sacramento homelessness organizer?
I've been living out here in this community for 8.5 years.
And how long has your group been together?
About 13.
13 years?
Yeah.
Shock has been together for 13 years?
Yeah, since about 87.
Huh, interesting. I guess I hadn't heard much from them.
Well, we haven't had access to information or any way to contact people until recently because of the charitable presbyters, and they've given us access to information, basically.
Well, I know that your group publishes a newspaper called Homeward, but I thought that's been just for the last few years.
Yeah, Homeward was started back in the early 90s.
Uh-huh.
It's been in existence for about 10 years. But the presbyters have give us access to more information. That's basically why we have more things going on, because these people, the National Presbyter Group has given us access to information.
The Presbyter Group is what?
Presbyterians.
I see. So you're getting some assistance from a religious group, a social justice group, you might say.
Yeah, well, it's a Presbyterian church.
Uh-huh.
National.
I gotcha.
Yeah. Well, their base office is in Kentucky, but they've got, it's all in Nashville. They came, matter of fact, they had a meeting in Sacramento about a week ago, and they were all here from all over the nation.
Are they going to help you in your struggle?
Oh my
to
God, they're thrilled to know in with us.
Are they going to help you in your struggle to have this police misconduct reversed? That's what I'm wondering about.
Absolutely.
Because it's really difficult for, I know, the police department has a lot of power, not just in your city, but I would say in cities across the country. I mean, they can shoot people with impunity, and the officers the next day are whistling and riding their beats and,
who
you know,
am I talking to?
Eating their donuts. You're talking to Robert Norris.
Robert Norris, yes.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was you, Robert.
Yes,
I thought
you do.
That sounded familiar. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah. Yes, sir. Well, the Presbyterian group, they have given us the information and all access to all this took to take care of this stuff. You're absolutely right.
Well, give us some of the history. What's been happening around this property, which I guess Ms. Padilla, a mayoral candidate, has been trying to make available to homeless people.
Yeah. Well, she did that. She already did that. But what happened with that is that she didn't want to get out into the public because there was a mayoral race going on,
mm-hmm.
and she didn't want to get held up with the zoning and all the legislation and all that kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
And so had us hold on until after the mayoral race was over to where we could even talk about it, really,
mm-hmm.
just for the zoning purposes. And it's, you know, there are things you have to do, like set up for septic, and you got to have water, and you have to have just basic necessities. You just can't just move
right.
a whole bunch of people.
But the place isn't open yet, right? I mean,
it's their private land. It's here in town, though. It's like an extension of where we're at already, where the homeless people are living on the American Brown Discovery Park.
Mm-hmm.
It's like an extension. She kind of just, but they just happen to have land there. They have a lot of land, so.
So they're actually offering it to homeless people.
They already have. Yes,
wow,
that's
amazing. And how many people
that.
Are actually using it now?
Well, we're doing the zoning for it.
Mm-hmm.
She's our biggest sponsor. Julie Padilla is.
How many people are actually using it that you know of?
There's going to be as many people as we can fit on 62 acres, brother.
Now we spoke about a week or two ago about the problems that the Shock and other homeless people in the community were having with the police department, and the fact that you were responding to this raid that we heard about from the Reverend yesterday, when you attempted to clean up the area.
Oh, my God.
The police responded by moving in and sabotaging or trying to sabotage the effort. This has happened before, right? I guess you told us about a month or two ago.
What is going on with the NSA?
Yeah.
Okay, the police have hired this private.
That's what we were told. But
we had so many complaints that we're filing. We had a thing going.
Now, you filed some complaints with the Internal Affairs Department of the Police, and you gave me a figure that I found amazing, which is that you said that many complaints have been filed in the city. You said over 2,000?
3,000, actually.
3,000 in the last how many years?
It's right now, it's 1,800, I believe, at 3.5 years.
1,800 complaints in 3.5 years, and how many of those complaints have actually been investigated?
This is the fourth one that I know of.
Four out of 1,800 complaints against the police department have actually been investigated, and you're getting these figures from where?
What's that?
Where are you getting these figures from?
From Tommy Klinkenbeard. He's a public defender for Sacramento, the court system. But
and he's helping you.
Yeah, he's actually a homicide attorney. He does strictly homicides. Tommy got caught in a police sweep out on the river where we were at one night. He was out there representing. He's a homicide attorney. He's out there. Some guy had killed somebody or whatever. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Tommy was there. He was out there where we were at. But he looked like a hippie. Mm-hmm. He got long hair. He got in a ponytail, you know, but he is a homicide. So no matter what he looks like, he got caught in a sweep. And ever since then, he's been down for us.
Huh. Interesting. So you're now actually, I know you mentioned to me that one of your folks filed a complaint against the police for their raid, in essence, where they came in, their spoiling operations, seizing those orange bags that you had actually...
That was the initial, when we initially started it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they did initially. That was months ago. Today, yesterday was something totally different. But
oh, good. Well, maybe you can... Well, before you clarify that, I'm going back a bit, because I was so struck by this story you told me a week ago that... The police had come in and did what sounded like a similar operation to what the Reverend talked about a moment ago.
There are things happening here every single day.
I hear you. Well, anyway, what you told me then, is, if I'm not mistaken, was that they came in, they engaged in abusive behavior, and then a woman filed a complaint about what they did. And
this is exactly what happened, Robert.
And the next day, and within a week, the day after they learned the name of the woman who had filed the complaint, the last name, they came directly and arrested her for old infraction tickets?
The same day. I had never seen anybody arrested for infractions where they went out and didn't even ask for... They asked for nobody else's ID.
Mm-hmm.
And just grabbed her, and there were many people there, and believe me, everybody's a witness.
Now, she's free now, right?
Yep, she got out Monday.
Did she complain of any abusive behavior?
Oh, my God, she was there. And they gave her another ticket yesterday for sitting there with us and helping us. She's the only one who got ticketed.
She was the only one who got ticketed?
Yep.
Wow, what an honor.
Yes.
She was
God
the one who filed the complaint against the police department, and she was the one who then got ticketed for doing
God
what everyone else was
doing.
God
bless her for that, man.
What was the charge against her yesterday?
Because she was sitting on the corner, all these people that were waving and supporting us and giving them our papers for free.
Hold, let me get this straight, Blake.
Yeah, you're getting it straight, brother.
She was ticketed for selling a street newspaper?
No, we weren't selling anything. We were giving these
She was
away.
Ticketed for giving away
give
a street newspaper.
Giving them away, brother.
You know, it sounds like you guys need a federal investigation in that
area. We had 50 witnesses there.
If it would do any good.
Else. Sure did.
Wow, listen, that's fascinating. I think you've got to write a story about that for the Bay Area newspaper Street Spirit, which I'm sure...
For everybody, brother.
I mean, we've had this problem in Santa Cruz where the police chief went after people for actually selling a paper, which is legal, by the way. It is legal under the First Amendment to sell a newspaper.
Witnesses,
sorry.
And she was sitting there giving away and blessing everybody, man. And we were picking up all the garbage. We had bags of garbage everywhere. These people, we had people in wheelchairs climbed out of their wheelchairs, laying on the ground,
and why
could
were they
not move, picking up garbage, uh-huh. And the police said, if you didn't get up, we're taking you to jail. I was with them.
Okay, now, tell us more, how long did this whole process take? How many hours?
We were there all day, but the police sat there for, you know, 3.5-4 hours watching us, until all the college kids, and yeah, there were people, they were on top of the bridge, and all the search groups were on the under the underpass. And they were spying on someone on top of the bridge, sitting on top of
I'm sorry, no, wait a minute, Blake. Who was on top of the bridge and who was under the bridge? Police were on the bridge.
Police department.
Okay, now, let me ask you this. I was told by the previous speaker that the police waited until the media left to make their hassles.
Yeah.
And was anybody there? Did you get to have a video camera? Did anybody video any of this?
No, nobody videoed. We all were witnesses.
Bummer.
The church people were still there. But see, we were working a little further away from where they were on the overpass. We were down up the street working.
Right.
And as soon as the college kids, all the, you know, there's a band that came. Paula has friends that they're UC Davis kids, and they're really good kids, man. And they were out there to have band stuff. And these cops kept there for 2 hours watching and waiting for them to leave. And as soon as they left and we walked around the corner, then they had another cop sitting underneath the bridge. He came flying in, man.
Now, we're talking to Blake Smith of the Sacramento...
I'm the chairperson.
Sacramento Homelessness Organizing Committee, is that the right way to describe it?
Yeah, Sacramento Homeless Organizing Committee.
Right.
I do the river cleanup. I'm the
right, now, if anybody wants to get in touch with Blake, you can give a call to 423-HUFF, our local number, and I will try to give you addresses, emails, and you don't have to give that information on the air now because it's easier. It's just for people to call the Huff line to get it.
Check this out, Robert. What we've done, because like I said, these people have given us
before you say that, I want to hear what you have to say. I just want to let people to know, if you want more information about Sacramento and learn how you can help this group, it's 423-HUFF, 423-4833. I want to tell you, Blake, that we are in Santa Cruz having a protest on the 11th, in case any of your Sacramento people can make it down here. If you want to come on in, it's going to be a protest against the city's anti-homeless sleeping ban. It'll start at 7 o'clock at our city hall at 809 Center Street, and if you just call my producer afterward, she can tell you more about it. Maybe you can send down a delegation to speak on behalf of Sacramento and support us. It is a ways to come, and it is short notice, but you're welcome to do that if you want.
Absolutely. God bless you, man.
I got to roll pretty quickly. Is there anything you want to conclude with?
Wait. You take it off?
No, we're still here.
You're checking off. Reverend James Snow says, thank you very much, brother.
Hey, thank you, Reverend Snow. Appreciate your good work.
I love you, brother. Thank you very much.
All right.
Yes, sir.
All right, then.
Bye.
Hey, all right then. Good luck to everybody there, and hope we can see you on Tuesday, some of you here in Santa Cruz, or if not, maybe you can write us a letter.
Yes. God bless you.
All right. Thank you.
What's gotten into our men in blue that's making them overreact? Is there something about wearing that badge that they do that makes them just want to attack? Or could it be rookies who prove overzealous? Perhaps we should ask, why this rough stuff now, fellas? We're hopped up cops at the donut shops, drinking hot coffee and soda pops, watching for motorists running stops so we can go practice karate chops. Coffee and donuts, sugar and caffeine. If we don't get it, we get mean. So all you junkies better come clean. It's the LAPD theme. Up against the car, did you hear what I said? Hands in the air or I'll smash your head. You better get on the ground or you'll wind up dead. You're gonna be sorry you ever sped. Coffee and donuts, sugar and caffeine. If we don't get it, we get mean. So all you junkies better come clean. It's the LAPD theme. You can bet your bottom dollar on the donuts I've eaten that your black butt is gonna get a beating. So go ahead, sue, if you think we're mistreating, and we'll take it up at the next Klan meeting. Coffee and donuts, sugar and caffeine. If we don't get it, we get mean. So all you junkies better come clean. It's the LAPD theme. Against the car, did you hear what I said? Hands in the air or I'll smash your head. You better get on the ground or you'll wind up dead. You're gonna be sorry you ever sped. Coffee and donuts, sugar and caffeine. If we don't get it, we get mean. So all you junkies better come clean. It's the LAPD theme. Your step, you criminal slime, cause we're on the prowl, getting tough on crime. Get your cameras ready, get your lights online, cause we're all pumped up for prime time. Coffee and donuts, sugar and caffeine. If we don't get it, we get mean. So all you junkies better come clean. It's the LAPD theme. Coffee and donuts, sugar and caffeine. If we don't get it, we get mean. So all you junkies better come clean. It's the LAPD theme. It's the LAPD theme. It's the LAPD theme.
And that's Mark Levy from his much beloved and most recent album, Born to be Wired, actually about 4 or 5 years old now, still good, the LAPD theme.
And, of course, it's more relevant now than ever, particularly in L.A., where, of course, the entire police force is now clearly compromised and the city council is scrambling to cover its butt. Similarly, here in Santa Cruz, we have, of course, a police force that's long been compromised, mainly from action at the top as well as rogue cops at the bottom and bad policies that the city forces the police department, or let's put it this way, allows the police department to use as a cover for its activities, such things as the sitting ban and the sleeping ban. Which brings me to my next guest, Melissa Goldberg. Hi, Melissa. Say something into our mic.
Hey.
Say something else.
I'm Melissa, and I go to UC Santa Cruz.
Hey.
I'm a student at Merrill. Yay, Merrill.
Say hello to all the folks up there at Merrill.
Hey, Merrill.
Not only that, you've written a paper. I ran into you at the sleeping ban repeal table, James, the nay table, we're going to call it. Nay to the sleeping ban is the table there, who's also in the studio. Say hello, James.
Hi, everybody.
That's the booming voice, James, chalk on the sidewalk, go to jail, nay, who, of course, was arrested last week for criminal chalking activity. We're going to talk to him a bit about that, as well as the man who issued the call for the lie down with your blankets and sleeping bags in front of the city council 2 weeks ago, and I may be doing something similar if he doesn't get some action from the city council on Tuesday, on April 11th, when that council session resumes at 7, although I'll let him speak for himself on that issue. But we got you, Melissa. You've written a research paper. I have it in front of me, dated 13th of March, Throwing the Homeless Out of Their Homes. What's this all about?
Well, basically, it's about how the homeless are not allowed to sleep on the streets or lay out their blankets, and just they don't have a place to live, really, so what are they supposed to do? So just questioning the thinking of the community towards this issue.
Well, now, why don't they just go to Fresno?
If they're homeless, they probably don't have tons of money just to pick up
What about Tijuana? Tijuana's cheaper.
Yeah,
it's cheaper to live down there.
Yeah.
Well, of course, that's what you will hear from people like... Well, I don't know if Mike Rotkin has actually said that, but I have heard it from people like Louis Rittenhouse. I have heard it from other conservative people who say, hey, if you can't afford the rents in town, you should move somewhere else. Isn't that reasonable?
No.
Actually, yes, Rotkin has said that. He hasn't said go to Tijuana or that, but he simply said, well, if you can't afford to be indoors, you should just leave town.
Well, I hope you get the quote, James, because I know that I don't want to be accused of misquoting one of our community studies instructors, Michael Rotkin, the self-proclaimed socialist feminist city council member. Actually, Michael, I think, may be leading the current poll that we're doing for the question of the pie presentation at the next city council meeting on April 11th. We are indeed cooking up a nice pie for the lucky city council member who wins the worst sleeping ban supporter award. That is the person who is actually most vigorous supporter of the sleeping ban and the most vigorous proponent of eliminating basic homeless rights, or let's say keeping basic homeless rights out of the hands of the homeless. And Rotkin is ahead in that survey. We'll be talking about that survey later. Anyway, Melissa, I looked over your paper and I was thinking, oh boy, another freshman, fresh person, UC student, and you corrected me on that. No, that's fine. I'm part of the archaic, patriarchal, misogynist generation, not proudly, but factually. And it's good to use language that people want to be self-described as, Ms. Fresh Person.
Thank you.
So there. I want to ask for a hug at this time. In any case, Throwing the Homeless Out of Their Homes is the name of your paper. And, you know, as I said, most times I get these papers from freshmen, full of factual errors, full of kind of, I wish that things were better for the homeless. But Michael Rotkin says it's okay, so, well, let's look at both sides. There's Hitler's side, and then there's the Jewish side, and let's consider both sides, and gosh, isn't it a question? Well, your paper seems to go somewhat deeper here. How long did you put into this seven-page paper? How many weeks did you spend putting it together?
I spent about 3 or 4 weeks putting it together. It took about two and a half weeks to do the research, and it was actually really hard to find a lot of information, which I was kind of surprised since homelessness seems to be such a big issue in Santa Cruz. But I found out the last major report that was done by two UC Santa Cruz professors about in 1985,
oh,
May
the
1985.
Street people report. Yeah, that was a.
That was the last major report. So, that's kind of shocking since it's 2000 now. And
there actually have been other reports, but again, it's hard to be able to find them in terms of the central location. For instance, in Community Action Board has done repeated reports about the homelessness in the county. There have been reports by there was a six-hour study session by the city council in 1997 rather than, again, deal with the sleeping ban, which was brought up over the winter of that year. They held another one of their, you know, tumultuous, long, blah, blah, blah sessions, and they actually invited guests from different places and then did absolutely nothing with their recommendations, just as last year they spent 3 months with the task force to examine the camping ordinance and did absolutely nothing in terms of anything substantive to give homeless people legal places to sleep. They lowered the fines and they made some minor changes in the car parking rules that allowed people in vehicles to have slightly more options. But again, most people in vehicles have to sleep illegally. And this year, of course, as we will see at the upcoming council session, they will again be confronted with the Homeless Issues Task Force report, which has already asked them 3 times loud. The dignity of a response. And I don't think they're going to on this session, because if you read the agenda, and I have a copy of the agenda here, the April 11th agenda, the Homeless Issues Task Force report comes up on the afternoon agenda. And for all of you really dedicated types who not only want to come to the protest in the evening, starts at the town clock at 5:30, meal at city council at 6:30, and then the actual council session is scheduled to start at 7 o'clock when the so-called public comment or oral communications period starts. Not only is that session happening, but for you dedicated types, the Homeless Issues Task Force report is due to be on the afternoon agenda, the last item of the agenda of the 3 p.m. session. It's item number 37, and it's motion to accept, listen to this wording, motion to accept the final report and recommendations of the Homeless Issues Task Force and refer discussion and action to a future city council meeting. Which means no action on the key issue. No action on and no discussion on the key issue of the city council. So what that means is that they will allow the people who are essentially, well, they're going to allow Linda LeMaster, who's the chair of this board, and Lucy Kienmitzer, who is one of the people on the committee, to make a long report, maybe Ken Cole, who's also on that group. But it looks like they're going to try to cut back any real discussion, although this is an agendized item, and that means that the Brown Act requires them to take some public input. So anybody who wants to come and talk about this report can do so. I see you've been looking over the report, Melissa. Actually, you haven't been looking over the report. You've been looking over the draft report. I guess James has something he wants to ask or say.
I got a quick question. You say you were out getting different sources to study this. Did you actually ask the council at any time for any of their studies?
No, I didn't.
Right. Well, actually, the council probably would have referred you to Don Lane of the Homeless Issues Task Force, or Gene Arner, who was the staff person for the previous task force to examine the camping ordinance. And those tapes and that stuff is available. They have endless reams of documentation around homeless issues. What they don't have is, of course, any track record or any inclination to take real action on the stuff that they've studied. And that's the problem. But as I said, this is going to be on the afternoon agenda 2 days down the road, day after tomorrow, Tuesday afternoon, on the 3 o'clock session, which means probably around 5:30 or 6, but you can never be sure. You got to show up early and hang in through all this stuff, and people are invited to do that. I will probably be there for a lot of that, but by 5:30 I'll be over at the town clock doing the speak out. We're going to be doing a speak out at the town clock, and we're going to march through town to the city council at 6:30, or march, amble, maybe we'll just, you know, dawdle through town, you know, checking out the historic anti-homeless businesses on the way, and you know, expressing our concern that here we are, as your paper points out, in a city which has a sitting ban near shops, makes it illegal, as you so accurately quote from 9.50.012 of the Santa Cruz Municipal Code, within 10 feet of any entranceway into or exit from a building, within 10 feet of any building window, within 4 feet of any drinking fountain or public telephone, within 15 feet of any cash, 50 feet actually, that's a misprint on your part, of any cash dispersal machine, outdoor vending machine, outdoor money changing machine, or any outdoor machine, or in other words, ATMs or change making machines. It's illegal to sit down near store windows is the basic import of the store. So anyway, we're going to be going to City Council, and we'll be kind of commenting on that as we go. And then at 6:30, we'll have a meal there. And at 7 o'clock, we want all of you out there in the audience who are listening, who saw how successful, I think it really was successful, our last protest was at City Council 2 weeks ago. Bring your blankets. Bring twice as many friends. Be prepared to again issue the same reasonable request to City Council, which is put on the agenda now, and they've had 2 weeks to do it. I'm sorry, it's not, they can't use the excuse, a proposal that you haven't, didn't have the time. Put on the agenda a proposal for either suspend the sleeping and camping ordinances in parts of the city that allow people to sleep, like industrial zones, or put on the agenda safe zones. And while you're talking about that, again, you have to suspend those laws, because you cannot criminalize people for sleeping tonight. You cannot do so. If someone went into your house and tried to do it, they would be considered felons. They would be considered tyrants. They would be considered abusive of the political process. They would be considered, dare I use the word that Mike Rodkin has so disgraced, fascists, to engage in that kind of attempted control of people's most intimate and necessary behaviors for life, for life-sustaining activity. Melissa, I'm babbling on. Do you have any comments on anything that I've said that you want to... Any thoughts?
No.
You're just shaking your head. I'm going on forever. James, no doubt, always has something to say. Come on, James.
I'd like to hear a little more of what she has to say in her report. So.
Well, let's do that. Melissa, yeah. I'm kind of trying to mix the two together, because I think... I'm of course, this is really our last radio show before this protest, which is coming up, which, as I said, is going to include probably a call for a sleep-in if the City Council does not offer something to homeless people that night, since I want to remind our listeners, on April 15th, the Armory winter shelter closes down unless there's some unusual emergency change. They've been talking about trying to get them to open up the parking lot up there. They've been talking about trying to get them to open up the Armory for a longer period of time. But as far as I know, as of Friday, that has not happened. And as of April 15th, which will be the end of next week, there will be no place for any but 56 homeless people will have spaces on the floors of the churches. The rest of the 700 to 1,500 homeless people who are daily within the city limits of Santa Cruz and sleep there somewhere, they will be outside, and they will be illegal. Yes, James?
And then on May 1st, those 56 spaces drop to 28 spaces.
Right. So the issue is coming up, and the issue is one that we have to address at this council, and that the council is responsible for addressing, but of course they don't. Last time they used the excuse, when James brought up the issue to City Council, that they couldn't put it on the agenda item because it was too late. They had gotten CEO, Chamber of Commerce CEO Michael Schmidt's safe zones proposal too late. Now, it really wouldn't have mattered if they had put it on the agenda, because his proposal doesn't really open up any safe zones. But it would have been an indication that at least they were taking formal notice of it, that they were discussing it. They could have actually, if they'd had any kind of respect or common sense for the issue, they could have at least done that. But of course, they didn't even want to do that. Now, the agenda was formed last week, and Mayor Keith Sugar had the option, as had any other council member, to agendize the issue of this homeless issue task force's emergency resolution, which again states suspend the sleeping and camping bans pending the establishment of safe zones for homeless people to sleep. And particularly important these days because of the violence documented by the police department, announced in the only good article in, I would say, 2 or 3 years in the Santa Cruz Sentinel on the front page, called Mean Streets, that homeless people suffer a rate of violence by the police chief's own much underreported stats, 4 to 13 times that of people in houses. If you're homeless, you're 4 to 13 times, last year, you were more likely to be beaten than a person in a house, which I think is quite a shocking statistic, since it really, if you add the reality factor there, it's not 4 to 13 times, it's probably 20 to 60 times, because only 1 in 5 assaults are reported, in my view, based upon what we were doing. We tried to compile those reports in the year before, and we came up with 4 or 5 reported assaults and about 30 or 40 unreported assaults. So it's actually much higher. But given that, This city council continues to ignore the importance of providing safe zones. Now, a safe zone, let me clarify, is not a zone where a homeless person has a police officer walking around with a truncheon guarding her or him. What it is it's an area where homeless people won't be ticketed, so they can sleep in a group, they can defend themselves. It's well lit, so they are, you know, aware of what's going on around them. And it's also a zone where if they do get attacked, they can call the police without worrying about the camping tickets that might be out there. And that should be a part, of course, of any resolution by the mayor in the wholly unlikely event that he does decide to put something on the agenda, amnesty for any camping tickets that have been issued so far. Complete blanket, no pun intended, amnesty. Any comments, Melissa?
Well, one thing I want to comment on is just the fact that people should really try and get involved and find out what is going on. Call the city council, ask them questions, talk to the homeless people on the streets. When was the last time any of us did that? Just try and find out what is going on, because it seems really like a shaky issue and like people really don't know what's going on. So if you see anyone, if you see Robert on the street, big guy with beard, come ask him questions.
Actually, James here also is a bearded fellow.
So two big guys on the streets, go and talk to them and ask them if you have any questions. Come talk to me if you know me or want to ask any questions.
Melissa, are you interested in the Students Against the Sleeping Ban group that has we've been talking about forming up at the University of California? Would you be interested in being a, so we say, an on-campus contact person for that group?
Perhaps, yes.
So would you like to give out your number on the air, or would you rather have that be done later? People are interested. They can, of course, always call 423-HUF, 423-4833, which is the line for Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, or you can call the on-air line right now for the next hour and a half, 427-3772. We're going to be doing lots of talking about this issue. Or you can show up at City Council in 2 days in the evening and come to Town Clock at 5:30, come to City Council at 6:30. And we'll be there. We'll be there with blankets. We'll be there with food. We'll be there with signs. And hopefully we'll be there with you, because it's the numbers that are going to make the difference, folks. They're not going to do anything at this city council meeting. What we are going to have to do is show them that we aren't going away. And I believe some people are going to be engaging in civil disobedience of a peaceful sort. That is to say, lying down with blankets and subjecting themselves to the possibility of arrest by a mayor who has said he will not conduct business if people are lying down, even though that doesn't interfere with people coming to the mic if they want to. That doesn't interfere with the audience hearing what's going on. That doesn't interfere with the council discussing whatever business they want to do. But what it does do is it shows that the city council is essentially conducting business over the bodies of homeless people, which is really, of course, what they do every council meeting. And so it's really quite a vivid visual display, an embarrassment of the city council, which, of course, they don't want us to see. You know, let's take a little musical break and a little more of Mark Levy, and we'll be back. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM on your FM dial. Call in at 427-3772, or come to the city council, or come to the homeless table tomorrow, the sleeping ban repeal table downtown. Tabler James Ney is taking a radio vacation break. Boy, he is so lazy. Only works 6 days a week, 6 hours a day at this table. But he'll be back tomorrow at noon, if I'm not mistaken. Is that right, James?
Yes, I'll be there.
All righty.
Sounds. I hear the verdict like a shot, the gavel striking down. What had that jury seen or heard to be of such a mind? And if a picture's worth a thousand words, then all 12 must be blind. Oh, people, can we get along? This is not the way to change. It's gotta stop, it's wrong. And when the smoke burns down to ash and the broken glass is swept, when the blood-stained concrete streets are washed and the bitter tears are wept, in anger and in pain, the questions still remain. Are Are we a government of laws or a government of men? With liberty and justice for whom and when? How long must people struggle to earn a decent life in and out of trouble, poverty and strife? Years have been sold and neglect, now how can people cope? Beaten down and left behind with no jobs and no hope. And can we get along? This is not the way to change. It's got to stop, it's wrong. And when the smoke burns down to ash and the broken glass is swift, when the blood-stained concrete streets are washed and the bitter tears are wept, in anger and in pain, the questions still remain. Are we a government of laws or a government of men? With liberty and justice for whom and when? Streets of anger, streets of rage, of every race and every age, to loot and burn, to shoot and kill, and leave 50 people cold and still. A city of the angels, consumed in hell like fury, while four white cops are walking free. I say jail that judge and jury. And oh, people, can we get along? This is not the way to change. Stop, it's wrong. And when the smoke burns down to ash and the broken glass is swept, when the blood-stained concrete streets are washed and the bitter tears are wept, in anger and in pain, the questions still remain. Are we a government of laws or a government of men? With liberty and justice for whom and when? With liberty and justice for whom and when? With liberty and justice for whom and when?
Again, Mark Levy, another one from Born to be Wired. He's a local person. You can actually get his cassette, give a call to 423-HUFF, and find out how. We're on back on line here, or I should say on air, with Melissa Goldberg. I thought it was Goldberg. That's like the Supreme Court Justice, briefly, back in the 60s. And we also have in the studio with us that yay-sayer James Nay, or the naysayer, at least, to the city council's inaction. And, of course, myself. I'm your host, Bathrobes Pierre Robert Norse, so-called because of the occasional bathrobe you may find me wearing when I wander the halls of city council or the halls of the mall, down there on Pacific Avenue, wherever that is. Again, trying to dramatize that those outside have no place to sleep, hence the weird sleepwear. Melissa, you got some stuff you wanted to talk about. Again, we have your report. If we can get a hold of it. James seems
Heck
to be
no.
monopolizing.
Can't
give us a report, James.
Give us the report.
Okay,
no,
well,
can't have
hey, no, having a little fight here in the studio. Officer, are there any police officers around? Go ahead, James. You have to get it close enough to the mic.
I will.
Go ahead.
In doing your research, did you actually go out and find any current statistics on the housing markets? I noticed you mentioned in there both 1980 and 1990 housing costs.
Let me check it out.
Did you actually go out and find any current statistics?
These are the most current that I could find in the time that I had.
Why don't you tell them the audience what you actually wrote, since I'm
okay, it says, with this increase in population, the price of housing has also increased. In 1980, the average house in Santa Cruz costed $94,100. Thank you. While in 1990, the price of the average house almost tripled to $256,000. And that's from Santa Cruz Walk and Roll.
So would it surprise you to realize that now that was what... you said tripled in the 10 years of 80 to 90?
Mm-hmm.
Would it surprise you in the last 2 years that it's almost tripled in just 2 years?
Wow.
Do you realize that a one-bedroom house now sells for over $400,000, if you can find one at that cost?
Wow. No, I did not realize that. That is a great increase.
Indeed, those housing costs are going up and up.
And then the other one is the comments in there, go a couple pages further, by the employee of the pizza parlor.
Mm-hmm.
And he says that they caused trouble. Let me see for a second and I'll read from it. Yes, they caused trouble. They disturb the customers. They smell. They beg for food. And if you don't give handouts, they yell and cause a big scene. Well, this is in reality a fallacy. Okay? This is a comment made by an employee trying to create the attitude that we are trying to stop. Okay, number one, homeless people don't walk into shops, okay? They may go up and down on the sidewalks, and some do beg or panhandle, but at the same time, our community says, well, that's what they, in fact, the officers come up and tell we supply street spirits to people so that they can sell a newspaper and feel good about themselves. They're working. They're selling a newspaper. We have the downtown hosts come and tell them, move along, or people that have... these nice necklaces and rings that they're out there trying to sell along walking there. They come up and they tell them, you can't sell those necklaces or rings down here. That's against the law. But you know what? Put them away in your backpack and just sit here and beg, because that's legal. And they tell them to do that. This is our downtown hosts telling people, don't earn an honest living, beg.
Mm-hmm. Interestingly enough, I went to city council pick up a copy of the agenda on Friday, and I ran into a man with a backpack who was actually, he'd been told by the police that he should go to the city clerk's office to try to get a permit to sell his, I think he had some, gosh, what did he have? He had, I don't know if it was rings or necklaces or something else, some small handicraft item which he had made. It wasn't a commercial item. And he first went to the city clerk's, and they sent him to the finance department, and the finance department sent him to the city manager's office, and the city manager's office sent him to the parks and rec, which took away all the documents that the city manager's office had given him, and he ended up with nothing, and eventually got no information. He got lots of information, but he got no final answers on what he needed to do to be able to sit down on the sidewalk, not blocking people, with a little teeny blanket area where he could put a few of his wares out there to display and look for donations or possibly sell them. And that, of course, is done in Berkeley every day. They have a lottery. They have folks up and down Telegraph Avenue have a rotating process by which they can sell their stuff. Of course, they're kind of more established and it's more commercial, but Eugene has a process for doing this. But Santa Cruz just has police and hosts that run people off. And indeed, you'll hear that, I hope, if we can get to those interviews, in some of those interviews. And in reality, I think what this man is going to find is that there's some $150 peddler's license he needs to pay for in order to peddle, or even just sit down and try to get to sell some stuff. So it's pretty outrageous. It's pretty discriminatory. And it's really unnecessary. I mean, if we were talking about people selling, you know, actively competing with merchants in a way that cut into their business in a significant fashion, you know, then there might be some justification for it. But I don't really think that's the case. I like your, again, as I said, I like your report. I only have given a kind of a brief look over. I know that you seem to take a very commonsensical position, like mine, which therefore shows how intelligent and well-spoken you are, what a quick study you are. But I, in a way, it's encouraging to me because, as I said, past reports tend to use this, maybe they should have killed the Jews, maybe they shouldn't have, let's split the difference approach, which I think is bad for obvious reasons, but for folks just coming into the issue, people can get confused because, you know, they're new at the situation, and they also are being guided by people like Mike Rotkin, who has 101 rationalizations as to why homeless people should not have the same rights that those in houses do around basic life-sustaining behavior in public places. And it's just really a sad thing. And by the way, I've invited Rotkin to be on the show recently, and he has not returned my calls. In fact, very few council members have been returning my calls these days. It's interesting, again, getting back to the protest coming up on April 11th at City Council, for those of you just tuned in, this is Bathrop Spears Broadsides, 96.3 FM, Civil Rights for the Poor. We're trying to turn talk about civil rights into action around civil rights on April 11th, when we're inviting everyone to bring a blanket, bring a friend, bring a sign, and come on down to City Council, maybe wear some, you know, bathrobes if you think that you look good in bathrobes, or some nightgowns of an evening wear sort where you're about to go to bed, to let the council know that since there's no place to sleep, maybe a safe zone should be the City Council itself. That's what we're talking about. Plus, there will be a pie presentation to the City Council for the worst council member in terms of her or his position on the sleeping ban. And we will be offering that City Council member her or his just desserts as a pie. And again, this is a completely peaceful exercise. We intend no violence whatsoever. And of course, you will no doubt see police lined up to the rafters around this because we are being public in our approach. But nonetheless, that is what our intention is. Melissa, have something you might want to say here? I'm not sure you... I kind of babble on, you know.
Kind of. I just have a question for the council. Where do they expect the homeless to sleep if they don't have... If they're homeless, they don't have a home, and if they can't sleep on the streets, then where are they supposed to go?
Well, I'll give you Catherine Byer's most recent response to that, which was in February of 1999, when she vetoed any change in the sleeping ban in terms of allowing people a legal place to sleep. It was going to be brought up in that subcommittee or that task force, and she just announced, and this is what she said, there's just no place for them. Those were her exact words. There's just no place for them.
And I don't think that's a solution.
Well,
that's kind of just denying the truth,
As a sympathetic, hand-wringing realist. Hmm. It's interesting. I'd like to read for folks the ballot that we are putting out. In case any of you folks out there want to be a part of this process of deciding who on the City Council really deserves to have her or his piece of the pie. I mean, that's the question. We've got a ballot here, which... Assuming I can find it. I'm sure it's here somewhere.
Look in front of you.
Oh, thank you, James. Cast your vote for the most worthy recipient of the annual Huff Pie presentation. Give the politicians, I'm reading from this flyer, their piece of the pie, a bit of bitter lemon meringue for their just desserts, baked specially by the new Santa Cruz chapter of the Biotic Bakers Brigade. Which council member, and this is the question all you out there have to answer, and then call in your responses. We'll take your responses on the air. Which council member has done the most to support a city law that makes the very act of sleeping and covering up with blankets a crime for those who are homeless? And, of course, the members of the City Council are Catherine Byers, Tim Fitzmaurice, Michael Hernandez, Chris Crone, Cynthia Matthews, Michael Rotkin, and Keith Sugar. Now, in case you want a little refresher course on what these council members have, shall we say, failed to do or done that is a deliberate sabotage of basic civil rights for homeless people around the sleeping ban, I'm going to read you what I wrote yesterday in putting this flyer together. Catherine Byers, shadow mayor whose whim controls whether the sleeping ban gets on the City Council agenda. She is also the swing vote and leader of the progressives. Leaving for Europe later this month, she has blocked any change in the sleeping ban for the rest of the spring, since her potential vote will be gone. And this information comes from David Silva, who met with these council members extensively over the last week, or I should say at least he met with them for a fairly lengthy period of time. They promised him they would bring documentation and language changes for the April 11th agenda after having promised him they'd bring it for the March 28th agenda, and they had no language. That is to say, they had no proposed ordinance changes that would allow homeless people a legal place to sleep. Catherine Byers unilaterally defeated any discussion and meaningful changes in the sleeping ban last year after 100 hours of useless hearings on the camping ordinance. That's the task force that I told you about to examine the camping ordinance. She buried homeless issues task force. That's the next task force, and the current one that will be reporting tomorrow, I should say day after tomorrow. She buried their resolutions last year. She has repeatedly betrayed promises to activists to support a legal place to sleep. Most recently, David Silva reports she lied about putting language on two council agendas that would have set up safe zones. And this is a quote from David Silva. She lied. David Silva is a man who has much more patience than I will ever have when working with these city council members. I wouldn't waste my time going to their meetings unless they actually offered something real and substantial. Tim Fitzmaurice, here's your next council member. He's one of the big three, the great liberals, the great progressives that were to come in and make changes, the ones that supposedly supported changes in the beach flats and would stop the bulldozing of all those beach flats residents. Now he's championing the bulldozing of the beach flats at the Mercy Charities housing hoax, the demolition of the Dolphin Lee, which we've also talked about. What did he do around the sleeping ban? Well, he authored the 3 days in a driveway, then get out of town amendment to the sleeping ban last year that prohibits letting someone sleep for more than 3 nights there. He's a champion of a residential NIMBYs. Fitzmaurice attends homeless weddings and funerals while supporting the ban. Repudiating his actions, the Green Party voted to require future council candidates to vote for ending the ban. Loyal lapdog of Catherine Byers, and I thought about it before I put the word lapdog. At first I said supporter, and then I asked my producer, Becky Johnson, what she thought. She said, no, he's the lapdog. So I decided, hey, let's be honest. Let's call a woofer a woofer. So ARF to you, Tim. He provided crucial support in defeating the 1998 Sugar Amendment, no arrests for sleeping unless other laws are being violated. He broke his word to Faster David Silva to get the ban on the agenda. That's Tim Fitzmaurice. Michael Hernandez. He postures publicly about wanting a campground as elections near, but he has declined to return any phone calls and voted regularly with Rotkin to keep sleeping a crime. He began his career as a pro-police Citizens Police Review Board member and has moved closer to the police department ever since, voting against sleeping as a human right back in 1998. He is a stalking horse and ally of discredited former progressive Scott Kennedy. He uses his ethnicity as a vote procurer but offers fines as his solution for homeless and migrant Hispanics. He is an embarrassment to city council. And there's really not much more you can say about Michael Hernandez. Chris Crone. Crone refused to introduce decriminalization of sleep either as a ballot measure or as an emergency action for the last year, in spite of many pleas from homeless activists. In other words, he likes to jabber a lot, but doesn't do anything at city council in terms of any real substantive agenda items. He took no action on any of his own homeless issues task force resolutions, including the crucial suspend the sleeping and camping bans until safe zones are established. He postures as the moderate in sleeping ban discussions, while denouncing protesters as part of the problem and refusing to publicly challenge Shadow Mayor Byers' NIMBY positions. He broke promises to craft new language with the city attorney. Cynthia Matthews. She is the Downtown Association Duchess who has voted to criminalize resting on the riverbank after dark and to impose a youth curfew. She supported Ban the Beggar programs, ranging from Let Them Eat Paper, an anti-panhandling hoax, to the Ask for a Dime After Dark, Go to Jail Downtown Ordinance of 1994, which is still in force. She promotes permits for business parking, but she promotes tickets under the sleeping ban for the homeless. The parking meter princess extended fine times, that is to say, the amount of time you have to keep feeding your meter, until 8 p.m., unlike almost any other city in California, but took no action to support rent control. So it's rights for those with vehicles, I should say it's hassles for those with vehicles, and then no support for those in homes trying to pay extravagant rents. She supported the sitting and lying bans downtown in 1994, still in force. Mike Rotkin. Now here's really the granddaddy of the sleeping ban. I don't want to prejudice your vote. And we're talking again about which council member you should vote for as the worst council member around the sleeping van. I want you to call in your answers. He's the most endlessly recycled council member. He was reelected 4 times as university socialist feminist, but votes to support police power. He personally closed down the Coral Street open-air shelter, indirectly causing numerous homeless deaths. He voted back in 1979, in his first term on city council, 1 year after the original sleeping ban was enacted, to keep sleeping a misdemeanor, if done twice within 48 hours. He has affirmed that position ever since. It's no longer a misdemeanor because of changes in the law. Camping is a misdemeanor. So if you put up a tent over yourself, that is now the basis for 6 months in jail and a $1,000 fine if you do it twice in 24 hours now. But sleeping is no longer a misdemeanor. But he, Michael Rotkin, supported keeping it a misdemeanor. He is the lead supporter of the sleeping ban, in my view. As mayor in 1996, he moved to forbid all nighttime protests at City Hall to disperse sleeping ban demonstrators. He physically removed and destroyed legal protester signs from the sidewalk in a rage. Keith Sugar, our current mayor, and last but certainly not least, he has repeatedly refused to allow discussion of the sleeping ban, though he controls the agenda as mayor, after his own $10,000 task force and SCAN and WILP, Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, supporters urged it. He has voted twice to repeal the sleeping ban a year ago, but fled any further action when chastised by Shadow Mayor Catherine Byers. He deleted the sleeping ban from the public poll, recently circulated at the cost of tens of thousands of dollars around town, in spite of guarantees made his supporters that it would be on the poll. The poll found homelessness a top concern of 82% of those asked. He has barred from the April 11th agenda even a November vote, that's 6 months away, on the sleeping ban by the electorate out of Sugar's own anger at homeless protesters for embarrassing him by revealing his positions publicly. He has sabotaged a sleeping ban compromise with bullying tactics by insisting that those who are fasting, like David Silva, guarantee an end to the council protest by other groups, like Huff, the group that is organizing this protest. That's Keith Sugar. So cast your vote, folks. Is it going to be, who's going to get the pie on Tuesday night? Catherine Byers, Tim Fitzmaurice, Michael Hernandez, Chris Crone, Cynthia Matthews, Mike Rotkin, or Keith Sugar? We have an incoming call. Let's see. Now, you can vote for three. You can vote first, second, and third choices, and perhaps, James, you can tally these for us. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, this is David Silva.
Hey, David.
Hi, I haven't been listening to most of the program. I just got in. First from Mass and then over to my Buddhist chanting meeting.
Uh-huh.
And everybody seems to be either organizing prayer groups or civil disobedience groups to come to City Council Tuesday night. The Green Party meeting yesterday was very huge, large turnout, and there was a unanimous consensus that the Green Party instigate its telephone tree, call all 5,000 Greens in the Santa Cruz County, and recommend that they exercise our principle of global and personal responsibility and participate in civil disobedience Tuesday night, this coming Tuesday night. So that's an alert to all Greens out there. It's time for you to read your platform and realize that this is proper Green activity, and it's sanctioned. Also, the Green Party gave more money to the campaign in the sleeping ban to buy sleeping bags for the sleep-in and pay signature gatherers. We have homeless people gathering signatures and starving students gathering signatures for the initiative. So that was a pretty successful weekend after being pretty depressed with trying to negotiate with these council members this week. It was nice to see that the party's coming through, regardless of its wayward council member.
Well, let me ask you something, David. You say that there was a unanimous vote by the Green Party. Did that include council member Tim Fitzmaurice?
Mr. Fitzmaurice was not at the meeting.
Strangely enough.
We did quite a few other things, too. I mean, we elected Ruth Hunter treasurer, and we put Celia Scott on the council, and we really are on the move. Green Party is on a move. We've got a good genetic modified resolution that's going to be in the state meeting. We're getting delegates ready to go to the state meetings and national meeting, and I've never seen the Green Party grow so fast, but this sleeping ban issue has finally hit the Green Party. We finally, all the Greens are saying, enough.
Oh, that's great, David.
And myself, I'm saying, you know, if they don't do anything Tuesday to begin the process of decriminalization of sleep, that I don't see any reason why any good citizen of good conscience should exercise anything with the city government, if you have business with the city government, you talk to them, the first thing is out of your mouth. If you're talking to Parks and Recs, is why don't you train those rangers, those park rec rangers, to have the homeless tread lightly on the land rather than giving them tickets. If you talk to whatever department you're talking to, flood every phone in the city. Call every department, and every department should know that the sleeping ban is the number one issue right now. No more business as usual. The city government should be shut down. It should not operate. No business as usual, starting Tuesday.
That's great. Now, do you need people? I know you were supplying some blankets at the last council meeting. Are you going to have blankets available this time?
Well, we hope to have some blankets. What we got is these small rolls of flannel sleeping bags, for the sleep ban.
Well,
so we're getting a bunch of those.
And of course, if anybody
and
wants,
we hope we have to gather as many blankets as possible. We're asking people to bring blankets, though. We want to have the city council chamber full of blankets all day long. We want to have those blankets on TV cameras. We want people to know that people are become criminals if they put a blanket over their child at 11 o'clock at night. We want people to know that. A lot of people still don't really realize that that's what the law says. That's why it's an institutional hate crime. That's why it has to be excised from our law. It's the dignity of Santa Cruz that's lost. The homeless don't lose dignity by this law. It's our shame, not theirs.
Or if you write on the sidewalk in erasable chalk blanket ban, that is also criminal behavior.
Yeah, outrageous criminal behavior. What happened to the First Amendment?
We could always call John Barisoni, our city attorney, and find out.
Well, I think they filed away the Constitution when they decided to put the sleeping ban uber alles. Mike Rodkin, being the Stalinist that he is when it comes to pragmatic politics, he may not be a Stalinist in theory, but when it comes to the way he exercises his Marxism, he's a Stalinist. Mm-hmm. What the Stalinists did to the gypsies, that's what Rodkin is doing to the homeless. There's no difference.
Explain to us what... You've been watching Rodkin for a long time. He professed, he's actually introducing this medical marijuana initiative. He's gotten a lot of public support for that. Why shouldn't we give him some leeway on the sleeping ban?
Well, how much leeway did they want? What leeway can you give on bodily functions? Well, how much leeway can you give on a bodily function of sleeping? That homeless people will only break the law every other night?
Well, rumor has it that Mayor Sugar has talked to the Homeless Issues Task Force head of the Homeless Issues Task Force and said something like, oh, I favor ending the sleeping ban.
Yes, he does.
But we're just going to have to wait on that until we can bring dear Catherine Byers around.
Everybody should know that Catherine Byers' phone number is in the phone book, and she does need persuading. I'm also asking people to please, if you want to join any of the FAS, you can call me at my home, 429-5284. If you want to join the Civil Disobedience, call the Huff number. If you want to get petitions, you can get them from the Green Party at 425-4499.
That's great, David.
Could you repeat those numbers for me?
Sure, 425.
4499, that's for petitions.
4499 for petitions. Your number, if folks want to join the FAST.
And if you want to join the FAST, you're serious about fasting, and sleeping without a blanket, or giving up coffee, or any beginning process of giving something up that leads to eventually full FAST, call me at home, 429-5284.
And, of course, the Huff line is 423-HUFF, 423-4833. And I want to let people know that this isn't, I think, unfortunately, the council is not going to have anything on the agenda. It already hasn't got anything on the agenda other than this Homeless Issues Task Force report, which is for, not even for discussion. It's not for action.
Well,
it's not
Robert, I'm ever hopeful, David. And,
right.
I'm also, seems like, ever promised, David.
Disappointed, David.
I have still, even yet, as of this weekend, have received further promises that something will be done about
promises,
the sleeping ban. My mother and my sister are coming to town because they're worried about my health. They're worried about the extent of this fast, and they're
coming. You've been fasting since when now?
January 1st.
And you are.
I'm not the only one.
You're a man with AIDS. Is that correct?
Yes, that's true.
And how are you able to do this?
Well, I've over the past couple years, I've simplified my medicine regimen. So I only have 3 pills that I take in the morning and 3 in the evening. And what I do, I have a commitment to my doctor that I'll take soy milk in the morning with the meds and almond milk in the evening with my meds.
Mm-hmm.
So I protect my stomach. And I have a micronutrient capsules that I take in the afternoon with spirulina and everything that keeps my guts flowing. I drink a lot of fluids and a lot of juices. Right now, since I thought we were going to have something real positive from the council, from the promises I got 3 weeks ago or 2 weeks ago, I we went back on to breakfast. So I've been eating breakfast for 2 weeks, so I feel pretty good. But when I went on to pure liquids, I must confess, day 26, I really didn't think I was going to make it. I was lucky I made it to that city council on the 28th. Now with Catherine Byers going off to vacation in Europe after this city council meeting, I certainly hope they do something significant, because there will be people falling to the wayside. We've had a few hospitalizations already, but we're really on top of this. We have some good nutritionists, and you know, we're doing it the proper way.
Now,
Dick Gregory style.
It's not just you who are fasting. Others are fasting as well.
No, there's people that are on chemotherapy that are fasting on weekends when they're not getting their chemo. There's people that are HIV positive that are on escalation progression fast. There's elderly people that are on fast. There's it's for some reason or other, it seems to be the disabled and the elderly that realize the threat that the homeless are in more. I guess because they're closer to it themselves. Those are the people that are coming forward and fasting. I wished I had more students fasting. I realize it's hard to fast and study, but I wish I had more younger people and stronger, healthier people coming forward. But this is what we're working with, and this is the reality that the council has to deal with.
Let's get those.
They've known about this since the middle of December. This is no big surprise. We're not pulling any hunger fast threat on them. This has been a slow, gradual, progressive fast that we warned them about in the middle of December. And for them to not have anything on the agenda is just beyond. I just don't know what to say.
It's business as usual.
If they do act something, we do have to respond in a positive way. I'm sure all the civil disobedience from everything, all the planning meetings I've been to, it's going to be positive, it's going to be creative, and it's going to be enlightening to the community. We invite the entire community to show up. The Green Party invites the entire community to show up. Be citizens of conscience. Let them know that this can't go on any longer. Save the dignity of Santa Cruz in the eyes of the world.
David, were you told by any of the council members that before they would put anything on the agenda, they wanted to have all protests quashed and stopped? Is that... I know you've had some meetings with some of these folks.
You heard about that, huh?
Well, that's a rumor that's been floating around.
Well, in the heat of negotiations, things are set, and things are on the table, and things are off the table. And I don't want to put any mayor's feet to the fire, but let's just say that there was some pretty nasty negotiations on that. We were pretty close to some decriminalization of sleep language. Then this whole issue of whether or not there'd be demonstrations called off or not, you know.
There was a phenomenon.
Your ears are not deceiving you. That's the sound of Bathrobes, Piers, Broadsides, Civil Rights for the Poor. Your 11 a.m. Sunday show today on April 9th, 2000, coming at you with 40 microwatts of power. Or is it mini microwatts? I've never been too good at electronics. This is Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. I'm your host, Bathrobes, Pierre Robert Norse. Today we have a special guest from UCSC who has done some work on the sleeping ban. She's going to be talking about it.